Radio Prague News. The Prime Minister has called for a tougher labour code than that proposed by the Labour and Social Affairs Minister. A growing number of public sector employees say they will join the planned protest action against the government on September 21st. And the Czech Foreign Ministry is laying off 250 employees and may be forced to close down more embassies in order to meet the government's cost-cutting measures in 2010. Prime Minister Peter Nečas has called for a tougher labour code than that proposed by the Labour and Social Affairs Minister Jaromír Drábek. In an interview for the business daily Hospodářské noviny on Monday, the Prime Minister said the proposal did not go far enough in giving employers greater flexibility. Mr. Nečas, who himself served as Labour Minister in the previous government, has suggested, among other things, that employers should be able to fire an employee without stating a specific reason other than general dissatisfaction with performance, that the 2 months' notice period should be shortened to 1 month, and that the standard 3 month trial period should be extended to 4 to 6 months. A growing number of public sector employees say they will join the planned protest action against the government on September 21st. The demonstration, originally called by police and firemen's trade unions, will be joined by soldiers, teachers and health workers. They are protesting against the government's plans to introduce a 10% wage cut, lay off workers and amend the labour code in a way that will restrict employees' rights. The Czech Foreign Ministry is laying off 250 employees and may be forced to close down more embassies in order to meet the government's cost-cutting measures in 2010. Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg said at a meeting with Czech ambassadors in Prague on Monday. The government recently approved plans to close down the country's embassies in Congo, Venezuela, Kenya, Yemen and Costa Rica. A decision on whether more embassies will need to be closed should be made by mid-September. The organisers of the Grand Pardubice steeplechase have rejected rumours that this year's event is to be cancelled due to financial problems. Miroslav Petraň, head of the board of directors of the Czech Horse Racing Association, said the 114th annual steeplechase would take place as planned, that is on October 10th, despite the ongoing financial difficulties. He said this was being made possible thanks to the generosity of several of the biggest shareholders who had boosted the association's finances with a million crown loan. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to be cold and rainy, with day temperatures between 14 and 18 degrees Celsius. A gradual warming can be expected in the second half of the week, with skies gradually clearing and temperatures climbing back to the 20s. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey, many thanks for tuning in. Coming up on today's show, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg wades into a diplomatic row with France over the deportation of Roma. The Minister of Transportation, meanwhile, takes a controversial proposal to peg speeding fines to personal wealth. We'll take a look at the week in sport, and in today's one-on-one, we talk to former diplomat and African studies expert Maria Imbrova, who is critical of Czech embassy closures in Africa.
The Czech Republic, during the last 5-6 years, had no strategy or no African policy.
I hope you'll stay with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. A very undiplomatic spat has blown up between Prague and Paris. The fuse was lit by Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, who said that France's ongoing expulsion of Roma, or gypsies, from camps across the country smacked of racism. Chris Johnstone reports.
Lorsque nous prenons des initiatives à l'extérieur comme à l'intérieur de nos frontières,
French Prime Minister François Fillon there exhorting French ambassadors to defend the country in the face of foreign criticism of its policy of expelling Roma from makeshift camps in France back to where they came from, Romania. Mr. Fillon declared the policy just and in line with European law. A few days later, the Czech Republic's top diplomat, Karel Schwarzenberg, begged to differ. In a newspaper interview, the Czech Republic's foreign minister said it was impossible not to suspect that a racist perspective played a role in the French expulsions, and added they were contrary to the spirit and rules of the 27-strong European Union. The Czech Republic's representative for human rights minorities, Michal Kotzab, later weighed into the fray. He pointed out that France, in September, is holding an international conference on the Roma issue without inviting key countries, such as Romania, Bulgaria and the Czech Republic. He said it harked back to the Munich Agreement of 1938, where the fate of Czechoslovakia was decided by Britain, France, Germany and Italy without Czechoslovak participation. The Czech Republic is currently heading a 12-nation initiative, the Decade for Roma Inclusion, which groups countries from Central and Eastern Europe, the Balkans and Spain, all of which have large Roma populations. As such, Prague might have expected an invite to the Paris conference. Mr. Kotzab's counterpart in France, François Zimmeret, hit back saying France should not be getting lessons on human rights from a country that was in many respects less advanced in the area. With relations between Prague and Paris ratcheted up, there were some steps to relieve the tension. First of all, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg pointed out that he had not directly branded the French actions as racist, but had said this was the impression given to outsiders. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas on Sunday also stepped into the debate and put some clear distance between himself and his foreign minister.
I would be very careful about tough talk about the officials of other states. I personally do not think there is any racism. These Roma are being expelled primarily because they have disturbed the peace and are not abiding by certain rules.
That at least may superficially have buried the diplomatic spat for the moment. But Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg is due in France next week for his first official visit since being named to the post this time round. He can expect a frosty reception.
That was Chris Johnstone with that report. The country's transport minister, Vít Bárta, has set off a new debate over how to clamp down on dangerous drivers. The idea, floated at the weekend, is that speeding fines in the Czech Republic could be pegged to motorists' personal wealth, similar to systems currently in place in Finland or Switzerland. The threat of high fines would theoretically lead owners of powerful luxury cars, who currently ignore speed limits, to think twice. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Earlier this year, a driver in Switzerland made world headlines after being slapped with a €228,000 fine for speeding in his Ferrari. And just this month, a visiting Swede was caught for the same offense and could face a fine of almost €800,000. Swiss law changed in 2007 made that possible, something that if Czech Transport Minister Vít Bárta had his way, could also be seen here. At the weekend, he floated the idea that speeding fines in the Czech Republic, like in Switzerland or Finland, could be tied to personal income. And he said that such a system would prevent young, rich and arrogant drivers from making Czech roads a Wild West. The idea immediately got support from some traffic specialists as well as the police, who would welcome a toughening of the law. They agree, and at least one study has suggested, that drivers of more expensive luxury or performance cars in the country have a greater tendency to display arrogance on the road and flout speed limits. Traffic police head Leo Strschild told Czech TV that many drivers simply feel they can do whatever they want. But at this stage, it is not at all clear if initiative will get off the starting blocks. For one, the plan is only in the very earliest of stages, with an independent study having only just been commissioned. Secondly, and more importantly, not all those within the coalition support it, and some are dead set against. At the weekend, Prime Minister Petr Nečas wasted no time slamming the idea, saying he could not imagine the police dialing up information about individuals' personal income and wealth. He even likened the move to a step taken by an authoritarian regime, catching the transport minister off guard. Since then, Minister Barta has begun to backtrack, suggesting that the cost of the vehicle could be one of the more dominant factors in the plan as opposed to overall income. But that too is being seen as highly questionable, given that the cost of a single vehicle is hardly a reliable indicator. There is also concern that the proposal could simply be unconstitutional, infringing on the principle of equal treatment before the law. So, from the outset, pegging speeding fines to personal income will be far from easy. The minister has defended himself by saying that thinking out of the box is just as important as cutting spending under the government's austerity plans, and he still plans to push ahead with a concrete proposal by the end of the year.
Many thanks to Jan Wellinger. To those of you who may just be tuning in, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Coming up, we'll have our weekly interview program, One-on-One. But first, as ever on a Monday, we'll take a look back at the week in sport, prepared by Jan Richter.
Tennis first, and US Open that begins at Flushing Meadows on Monday with two main Czech hopefuls, Tomáš Berdych and Petra Kvitová. Seventh seed Berdych, who reached the Wimbledon finals earlier this year, will face Michael Laudra of France in the first round. Berdych said the Frenchman was his least favourite opponent for the opening round. The Czech also complained about the schedule, as he might only get to the court on Wednesday. The biggest Czech hopeful in the women's singles, Petra Kvitová, seeded 27th, will play another Czech, Lucie Hradecká, in the first round on Monday. Kvitová reached her first Grand Slam semifinals at Wimbledon, but has not been doing very well since then. The 20-year-old Czech player hopes she will improve.
I think people don't expect much from me after I was recently eliminated in the first rounds. I expect I will be nervous in the first round, but I will put up a fight. After Wimbledon, it took me a long time to adjust to hard surfaces, and when I played badly and lost, I was really confused. But I'm trying to put that behind me, and I hope you won't keep reminding me. But it's going to be better here. I feel fine and I like it here.
A bude to tady lepší, no. Cítím se tady fajn a mám to tady ráda.
Turning to football now, where the Czech title holders, Sparta Prague, ended their agony in the Champions League qualification on Tuesday after losing 1-0 to Žilina in the second leg of the playoffs. The Czech club needed to overcome a two-goal deficit at Žilina and build up sufficient pressure, but never managed to score. The closest they came was in the 54th minute when Sparta was awarded a penalty. But Jiří Kladrubský botched it, which was it for the Czech champions. After the game, Kladrubský apologized to his teammates and fans.
I kicked it like a beginner. I apologize to the guys and all the fans because that's not how it's done. We were not resigned to the game when we got here. We knew we had nothing to lose and we fought. We wanted to score and shake it up a little and make them nervous, but it didn't happen. It was my fault.
Sparta Prague did not make it into the Big Bucks Champions League, but will at least play another European club competition, the Europa League. On Friday, they drew their opponents in the group stage, CSKA Moscow, Italy's Palermo, and Lausanne of Switzerland. In the first match, Sparta will host Palermo on the 16th of September. Sparta's manager Josef Chovanec says it will be an opportunity to improve their reputation.
Europa League is a big opportunity for us to fix our reputation, and we should do it really fast. We have a big debt towards our fans and towards the public. This is a chance to present ourselves in a completely different light.
In the world of motorsport now, the Czech-hosted Intercontinental Rally Challenge concluded with a dramatic finish in and around the eastern city of Zlín at the weekend. On Sunday, the lead of the Barum Czech Rally Zlín 2010 changed hands three times. Overnight leader and defending champion Jan Kopecký spun and ended in the ditch. He managed to get back on track but made another mistake, failing to reach the finish line. Belgium's Freddy Loa took his sixth win in a row and became the most successful driver in the series history. Second place went to Finn Juho Hanninen and third came the best Czech, Pavel Valoušek, all of them driving a Škoda Fabia, which dominated the event. And finally, Czech athletes took 7 medals at the first ever Youth Summer Olympic Games that closed in Singapore on Thursday. Tennis player Jiří Veselý and judoist David Pulkrábek took gold, while canoeist Pavlína Zástěrová and shooter Gabriela Vognarová took silver. Czechs also won 3 bronze medals in the discus, swimming and kayak events.
That was Jan Richter with the news in sport. This is Radio Prague, broadcasting around the world over shortwave, via satellite and on the internet. And we'll stay with Jan Richter for this week's One-on-One.
Czech-African relations went through a downturn after the fall of communism and might suffer another blow as the Czech Foreign Ministry has announced the closure of Czech embassies in Congo and Kenya. In this edition of One on One, we talk to Marie Imbrava, an African studies expert and a former diplomat who spent 8 years at Czech embassies in Kenya and Zimbabwe. She has continued visiting Zimbabwe even after she left the foreign ministry and is involved in several development projects there. During her sojourn in Africa, she also developed a passion for modern African art. When I sat down with Marie Imbrava, I first asked her whether she thought Czech appreciated the artifacts she brought home and exhibits in art galleries across the Czech Republic.
I would like to say that it is my not only the hobby but serious work. I was living in Zimbabwe from 2005 till 2008 officially, and after I finished my contract with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the Czech Republic, I decided to continue my work as a private person, that I am going regularly to Zimbabwe again. Last year I was there 3 times, this year I plan my second trip to go there. That for me it is the serious job, and I am trying to find the comparison how is accepted modern African art in West Europe, in the USA, and of course what is the role of the Zimbabwe art among them. And I am really proud of my Zimbabwe friends, colleagues and really good friend painters and sculptors. They belong to the club of the most valuable modern artists in the modern world.
You have exhibited parts of your collection around the Czech Republic. Are Czechs interested in African art, and particularly in modern African art?
They don't understand, but they are interested in it, especially when I invite them and I give them the chance to stay in the room with my sculptures and pictures, and I am able to tell them the whole story, who made it, what is the technique, where the piece was exhibited and so on.
Do you get offers to sell African art in the Czech Republic? Lots of people now seem to be investing in modern art that come, of course, from the Czech Republic, or, you know, made in the Czech Republic or in Europe. But are people interested in investing in African art?
For me, it is my private decision what I would like to do. I decided to promote the art, that the core of my collection, there are some pieces which are not for sale, never, because I have the personal touch with them, and they are, the price is too high for the Czech market. Of course, I have so many pieces from some artists, and they agreed that I can represent them, that I can reach a very acceptable price for the both sides, for the Czech people and for them. These prices are probably one third of the price comparing with the West Europe. It depends. If the collector asks me, I would like to buy your piece, I contact the person in Zimbabwe and we can make deal. But in fact, I think that some pieces are still very expensive for the Czech market.
Now, you graduated from Charles University in the 1980s from the African Studies program. How did you become interested in this field?
When I started to study, I was 19. I was mother of one child, and I was fresh married, but I was very naive, and I always wanted to study ethnology. And that year, the ethnology was not opened, but happily it was opened, the African studies. That time we opened this type of the study only once in 5 years, and I was really very lucky person when I was accepted to study.
You later became a diplomat. You joined the Czech foreign ministry after the fall of communism. Did you see that as a career when you first joined the African Studies program?
Probably I surprised so many friends of mine because I simply said I will go to work for the ministry because I need to find a way how to reach Africa. That I passed through some interview and I started to work for the African department. It was my wish, and after the regularly period stayed at the headquarters, I was sent first to Kenya and later to Zimbabwe to spend 11 years working for the ministry, and spent 8 years in Africa was the great experience for me, and I think it was enough, and I left the ministry in the right time.
The foreign ministry has just announced that as part of a larger cost-cutting measure, it will close down Czech embassies in two African countries, in Congo and in Kenya, and perhaps the embassy in Zimbabwe will also be closed down. How will it affect relations between the Czech Republic and these African countries?
Personally, I am very sad, and I public my opinion that it is the great mistake. But when I started to think what happened, there is simply the result that the Czech Republic, during the last 5-6 years, had no strategy or no African policy. If you have no strategy, if you have no goals, how you can define what you like to reach? Simply the last governments of the Czech Republic forgot Africa. We are very concentrated only how to survive in our neighborhood. When you look at the map of the Africa, we are leaving now Central Africa, we are leaving East Africa. A few years ago, when we closed the embassy in Dakar, we simply left Francophone Africa. That's it. It is the political decision. I don't understand it, but it is the reality.
So what do you think the Czech Republic is going to lose, in your opinion?
Simply we are losing the part of our reputation. We are cut the part of our history. And we are giving the signal that we are not interested in modern life in Africa, that simply we are ready to forget all our historical, culture, economic ties with Africa.
Does the Czech Republic have a good reputation in these countries? You spent, you said, 8 years there. Do people in Zimbabwe know about us?
We still have great reputation, especially in Kenya and Zimbabwe, because we started so many programs which were not typical and common in both countries. Especially in Kenya, when I was there as a chargé d'affaires, we started with the program of adoption of the kids and support the education. The same in Zimbabwe. When I came there, my former ambassador was king of the art. He introduced me to so many living painters and sculptures. And from the beginning, we did a lot to keep survive such a huge community of people who loved Zimbabwe, but they couldn't move the time. And our knowledge and our approach to the local people was always different than the British. That I think that both countries, Kenya and Zimbabwe, really appreciate our approach to them.
Now, you're leaving for Zimbabwe tomorrow. What's the situation there like now?
Zimbabwe is facing so many problems, but I must say the change is seen. There is the transitional government. There is not only the Mugabe party, that the MDC did a lot, and I am so happy that the Minister for Education and Culture belongs to the opposition. He has a very high reputation that in September will start the new school year there. The kids will get the textbooks, and I am going there to open the program with the Ministry of Education. The two volunteers will follow me. I will go to visit my Tengenenge group of kids. I have 47 of them, and I try to issue for them the birth certificates. I have a lot of to do, and still I am working as a private person, but very proud that I am Czech, that so many people don't see any difference if I am diplomat there or not. I am simply coming from the Czech Republic to share the time with them and to help them to start a new life.
That was diplomat Maria Imbrova, ending that edition of One on One and Radio Prague's English broadcast for today. If you'd like to hear that program again or search through our archives of news and features, look for us online at www.radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we're always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or of course by snail mail to Vinohradska 12 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, and all of us here at Radio Prague, we thank you for listening and we wish you the best.